I'm going to read you three verses from the book of Romans, chapter 15. This is verses 5, 6, and 7. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. My sermon today isn't so much a message from me to you as a message being preached on a weekly basis by everyone here at the Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, a sermon directed outward toward anyone with ears to hear, a sermon with the ultimate purpose of glorifying God. In order to make you aware of the message that you are already preaching, I need to give you a little bit of background. As many of you will remember, back in the middle of October, our Wednesday night ministry was visited by a county health inspector. The inspector was very complimentary and is offering us every possible encouragement and support, and we are going to have to obtain an annual health permit for our kitchen and for our food serving operations. First steps toward this goal have already been taken. Tracy Starr is enrolled in a food manager course. He will be attending that course for 8 hours on Tuesday, at the end of which he will be taking a test, not unlike a driver's test, I suppose. He's been studying hard from the booklet already, and he's determined to pass it on the very first try. Meanwhile, our Board of Trustees has accepted a generous offer from some Navy Seabees. It's a Navy construction unit who is prepared to help us upgrade our kitchen. Their labor would be all volunteer. Our kitchen needs a 3-compartment sink, a newer, cleaner counter, a stove with a hood, and various other specifications to bring it up to code. It's not necessarily going to be an easy project, but we do have a plan to satisfy the health inspector. However, the anonymous complainer also called a city neighborhood code compliance inspector. That inspection took place at the very end of October, and then just recently resulted in a verbal notification from the inspector to me that we are on the brink of receiving something called a notice of violation. This notice of violation is going to say one of two things. It's either going to demand that we terminate our Wednesday night ministry, our ministry of open free meals and medical clinics, or it's going to require that we obtain a special permit if we want to continue our Wednesday night ministry. In this case, the issue has nothing to do with health and safety. It has everything to do with what constitutes a church's ministry. Last week, I wrote a letter, and I would like to read it to you now. I guess maybe this is the place where the sermon starts. Dear Inspector, thank you for your phone call of November 26, 2007. I am writing to request that you reconsider your stated intention to send the Pacific Beach United Methodist Church a notice of violation. You and your supervisor seem to be under the impression that we are doing something here which is beyond the scope of what a church might be expected to engage in. I assure you, that is not the case. A fellow church leader, John Ed Matheson, articulates the purpose of the church succinctly. The church, in all times and places, exists to exalt Jesus Christ and to help us walk in his steps. Our mission is guided by the words and the actions of Jesus. When Jesus described his own ministry, he said, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them." It's a quote from Luke chapter 7, verse 22. We take to heart Jesus' instruction that we, his followers, should proclaim the good news, The kingdom of heaven has come near. We should cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, and give freely as we ourselves have received. It's a quote from Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. We are mindful that Jesus told us we will one day be judged on whether or not we gave food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, welcome to the stranger, clothing to the naked, care to the sick, time and attention to those in prison. And that's a reference to Matthew 28, verses 35 and 36. My letter goes on. We practice our religion in all of the following ways and more: praying, singing hymns, studying scripture, offering hospitality, feeding the hungry, caring for the sick, joining in corporate worship, donating to food and clothing banks, giving time, sharing talent, and offering resources in Christ's service. Sometimes feeding the hungry takes the form of Holy Communion, a specific ritual in which we partake of the body and blood of Christ. Other times, it takes the form of an open meal in which church members and neighbors in the community come together for food and fellowship. Sometimes, caring for the sick involves taking flowers to a hospitalized church member. Other times, it involves offering a place where indigent and vulnerable members of our community can receive medical care. In other words, what we do at our church on Wednesdays is as integral to our purpose and identity as what we do on Sundays or any other day of the week. Our worship services and our meals are open to all. In both cases, participants are a mixture of church members and visitors from the community. In both cases, some participants have financial means and some do not. We do not discriminate in any way. Anyone is welcome to sign up for a free consultation with a medical, dental, or acupuncture student. These clinics are licensed and properly supervised under the auspices of UCSD Medical School and the Pacific College of Oriental Medicine, respectively. No fees are charged and no money is exchanged for services. Those who seek care at the clinics tend to be members of the community who have no other access to health care. Thus, we feel that this is an especially pertinent instance of following in the footsteps of Jesus. Our church has been at its current location since the 1950s. All of our current ministries have been operating as they are today since at least 1997. I remain confused about what has suddenly changed about the definition of church in the city codes that would require you to begin attempting to curtail the spectrum of ministries at the Pacific Beach United Methodist Church or any other church. I appreciate your attention to this matter. I am sending copies of this letter to elected city officials in case their insights would be helpful. I enjoyed meeting you when you came to the church as required to investigate an anonymous complaint. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and or your supervisor to further discuss our church's theology and mission. I would also be glad to provide further written documentation to the effect that our activities fall well within the common understanding of what a Christian church is supposed to be and do. Sincerely, the Reverend April Herron. Yes. And it's really lovely that you appreciate me and you like my letter. It received exactly no response from the official recipient or any of the elected city officials who received a copy of it. It did, however, begin to circulate via that amazing thing called email, and it came to the attention of a local attorney who serves on a regional task force that has been brought together and been operating together for some time now, a task force on homelessness that includes elected city officials, it includes service providers, it includes interested members of the community, members of the religious and faith communities, and it includes this attorney. And when he read my letter, he grasped the point immediately. The city, by its action, is threatening our right to practice our religion, a right which is protected under the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. And so here in yet another instance of God sending us the people who can help us at the very exact moment we need them, this attorney is preparing for us, based on his experience in very similar matters, at no cost to us, he is preparing a legal response to the inspector's visit and phone calls, which we hope and expect will preserve our ability to be in ministry every day of the week, not just on Sundays. The legal document which he has prepared includes several pages of scripture quotations, including Luke chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. These verses come at the end of a story which takes place after Jesus had been crucified, his body has disappeared, two of his disciples walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They don't know what else to do. They head for this little town. As they walk along, feeling really sad, a stranger appears at their side and begins to walk with them and asks them why they're so sad. They tell the story. The stranger begins to quote scripture passages and try to shed some light on prophecies and on recent events. And so when they arrive at their destination in Emmaus, these two disciples say to this stranger, it's late, it's getting dark, why don't you come in and stay with us? And so the stranger agrees, and we come to Luke 24, verses 30 and 31. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And then the quote is explained in this legal document as follows. Christians believe that they find and see and experience Christ when they break bread with strangers. Christians practice their faith fully only by inviting strangers into their church home and sharing a meal with them, a meal modeled on Holy Communion and on the many meals that Jesus shared with friends and enemies, saints and sinners, large crowds and small groups. The document also states, the religious beliefs and practices of the Pacific Beach United Methodist Church command that they love, help, share with, and care for the hungry, the poor, and the homeless. The church's faith requires that this love be manifest in concrete actions, visible before God, their community, and the world. The church members manifest their religious beliefs with action by providing occasional community food, care, and ministry on Wednesday nights on church property. Legal experts within our own congregation have reviewed every word that is being set down on our behalf. Our Board of Trustees is fully appraised and in agreement on our course of action. In fact, our Tuesday night trustees meeting seemed to me to be quite a striking example of God granting us the steadfastness, as we read, the steadfastness and encouragement we needed to be in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together we may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are wondering what you could do to help, I offer two suggestions. First, that we all be praying for everyone involved in this situation. From the inspectors to the elected officials to the guests who might be worried about this meal being in jeopardy, just we all be in prayer for the whole situation. And second, carry on with your ministry. Whether your role is putting up the Christmas decorations, or singing in the choir, or running the projection system, or distributing devotional books, or teaching Bible study, or serving on the member care committee, or greeting people at the door, keep up the work you do, which is so wonderful and so beautiful. Every aspect of our ministry is equally vital to the overall mission of glorifying God and walking in the footsteps of Jesus. If you're eager to personally reach out to the hungry and the homeless, I have good news for you. Our turn to host the Interfaith Shelter is beginning on January 19th. So at that point, in addition to our regular Wednesday night ministries, we will have a two-week period in which we're hosting approximately a dozen people who will be living here at the church. And so within the next week or two, Lauren Andrade and Jack Johnstone will be in the entry area with sign-up sheets so that all of us can sign up to cook a meal or bring sack lunches or take a turn to be the overnight host sleeping here at the church on a given night. It's kind of tempting to think of this sudden bout of inspectors as nothing but a colossal nuisance. But as I reflected on this passage from Romans, it occurred to me that actually the city of San Diego is giving us a wonderful opportunity to reflect on why we do what we do. Because of everything that's happening, we have the opportunity to remember the point of being a church. And really, that's what this season of Advent is all about. Asking ourselves the questions, who is this child? Why has he come into the world? And what does it mean for us and for the way we live our lives? We do hasten, Lord Jesus, to bring you our praise. We bring you also our prayers. Our prayers for leaders and employees of our city, for citizens who are cold and hungry, for people who are sick and need care, for those among us who've been laid off from our jobs and wonder what the future holds. We place our hope in you, Lord, and we pray for those who have no idea where their hope lies. May they and all of us see the light of your love beckoning. Your mercy and your compassion are without bounds, O God. And so we ask that you comfort those who grieve, welcome home those who are dying, keep safe those who are in places of danger. Grant us, Lord, the will to find solutions to the world's problems and the courage to implement them. You have chosen us, Lord, chosen all of us, to reflect and share your light with one another so that we, along with all your children, may learn that the point of our lives is to love, serve, and glorify you. Remembering our dear friend Ted Thurston and many others who occupy important places in our hearts, we pray now the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.